This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Hey, listeners, I'm Vanessa, the host of the Unseminary Podcast, where we talk about the stuff you wish they taught in seminary. I'm joined by the founder of Unseminary, Rich Birch. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Really good, actually. Super excited. Here we are coming down to the final days here before Easter. It's the biggest of big days. I know everybody's excited for it. So, yeah, excited. And thank you for putting us in your earbuds at this time of year, too, because I know there's lots of other things you could be doing, but just so thankful that you're listening in today.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. Well, today we're talking about something you're super excited to talk about.
Yeah, so the title of today's article and podcast is Marchetti's Constant, What It Is and How It's Impacting Your Church. This is one of those... This is like insider baseball, the most kind of church leadership wonk thing I've written in a while. Super strange, but I hopefully you will come along for the ride, dear listener, because I think this might help illuminate some of the kind of dynamics that are impacting your church even today.
Awesome. All right. Well, what is it?
Well, so Marchetti's Constant is a proven principle of urban design. So it's a kind of a sociological principle that shows that on average, a person spends half an hour a day or half an hour each way. So half an hour in the morning, half an hour at night, or a total of approximately 1 hour a day commuting. So now what does that, you know, what does that mean? So for us, that's obviously what we're diving into. The amazing thing kind of about Marchetti's Constant, and I've again linked to articles in it, in the article. I've linked to more if you want to dig into it, because you may not believe me, but you know, it's really a fascinating principle. I had heard about this about a year ago, and it's one of those things that keeps popping up as I talk to people kind of in the background. So I wanted to introduce it and bring it in front of people. The amazing thing about Marchetti's Constant is this: basically, as transportation modes have changed over time, the reason why it's called Marchetti's Constant is because what is constant is this half an hour commute. That whether, you know, if they look back in history and they say, how far did people, when they were walking to work, how far did they, you know, live afar away from their work? It was about a half an hour walk. You know, when they were riding on horseback, it was about a half an hour horseback ride. They were taking a buggy, it was about a half an hour driving a car, or even, you know, up until the most recent kind of, you know, the fastest bullet trains in Asia and Europe, people are living about 30 minutes away from where they work. They're willing to kind of commute that distance. And so for urban planners, this is a pattern. This pattern has huge implications that really drives how populations are being designed and how kind of communities are being designed. It's an important concept, you know, that people are thinking about a lot. And so I think for you and I, we have to think about it in the local church. But before we jump in to how it's impacting us, do you get it? You understand kind of what Marchetti's Constant is all about?
Yeah. And this is like this principle, I guess, is very true in my life. And, in my husband's life, it's a little bit different since we've moved, but, I'm really excited to talk about this. I'm excited to see how this impacts the local church.
Yeah. Okay. So how far do you commute to work every day? Like if you were to get in your car and drive there?
I'm a 10 minute and yeah. My husband is a 10 minute. Now, if we were talking 5 years ago, he would be 30 minutes and I was actually over an hour.
Right. And so now when you were in over an hour, did you go in every day?
5 days a week.
5 days a week. You're amazing. You're pulling the average up. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is that weird dynamic that I think we've all experienced, and people who are listening in, you know, over the years, I've spent a lot of time talking to you know, churches in multi-site as they're thinking about multi-site expansion. And there's this weird thing and Marchetti's Constant explains it, where people are willing to drive 26 minutes to go somewhere. But if you ask them to drive 32 minutes, they're like, oh my goodness, that's just too far. There's like this weird line somewhere around half an hour that people consider it just is too far to go away. And so, you know, where I live in my little, you know, town here, we're like a touristy kind of town, but about 30 minutes away is a bigger center. You know, a lot more people, 100,000 people. We're like 30,000 people in the town I live. You know, we'll drive into that other town if we're looking for, you know, to whatever, go to a movie. That doesn't seem too far. But to go to the south end of the town, which is then maybe 40 minutes away, so it's not actually that much farther. It feels mentally in my head like so much farther. It's like, I can't.
Feels like an hour.
I'm not going all the way down there. That's crazy, even though it's not that much farther. So Marchetti's Constant explains a little bit of that. And so what we're diving into here is really a couple ways that it's impacting our churches. And, you know, for folks that have heard me speak before, actually one of the talks I've done with a bunch of leaders all over the you know, country has been this, I do this talk on kind of trends that are impacting your church. And a part of what we talk about is the impact of the car, which is, again, seems very strange. If you're listening in for the first time, you're like, this guy's podcast is very bizarre. but our churches are a byproduct of the car. And we, I don't think we think about that. We just, the car has become so pervasive that it, we don't ever consider or think about like, well, what difference does it make? So, you know, before the advent of the car, so, or before the widespread advent of the car, say 70 years ago, before World War II, there, you know, most people were walking to church. They were choosing to go to the kind of parish around the corner. In fact, actually, just before we recorded this, I just came walking from our town library and, you know, walked past a couple churches. And people often wonder, why are there, like years ago, why were all those churches in the same place? Well, they're because people used to walk to them, and they were, you guessed it, about a 30-minute walk from everybody that would come to their church. And so Marchetti's Constant impacts us in a whole bunch of different ways. It really is driven right now. The kind of most common form of transportation is the car. But, it, you know, as that changes and grows, we see that in urban environments where, you know, churches are based more on, say, subway lines, you're again looking at the similar kind of issue, a 30-minute commute by subway and public transit rather than by a vehicle. So Marchetti's Constant, excited to jump in.
All right, let's do it. Let's dive in. Campus expansion should be within 30 minutes of your existing sites.
All right. So when you think about Marchetti's Constant, it should not be a surprise to you that statistically speaking, the vast majority of multi-site campuses are found within 30 minutes of their other locations. So according to the latest research by Leadership Network, and this shouldn't surprise you, that 89%, so almost 90%, 9 in 10 campuses are within 30 minutes of every other campus. So of the and the vast majority of campuses are actually launched out of the first location. And so the majority of campuses are found within 30 minutes. And that actually breaks down into kind of half and half. So 44% of campuses are within 15 minutes, and then the 45% are between 15 and 30 minutes. So for a total of 89%, 90% of all multi-site campuses are in the Marchetti window. Now, this is an interesting, rather fascinating strategy or kind of thing to think about when we think about multi-site expansion, because actually this number takes into account both rural, urban, suburban. It really does define every all kinds of multi-site churches across the country. It's not looking at just suburban campuses, it's looking at all of them. So when you're thinking about launching a campus, what you need to be doing is thinking about, okay, where are the pockets of people that are within 30 minutes of our existing campus who might want to be and kind of might be interested in helping us launch a new location. What you shouldn't be doing is looking at like some campus an hour away or an hour and a half away and saying, hey, I want to go over there. And Marchetti's Constant actually underlines some of that. People are unwilling to do that. If your campus expansion strategy is about, which it should be, if it's about hiving off people from an existing location, taking those people, going over to a new location and then seeing those people launch a new location, you're going to want to put all of your campuses within half an hour of each other. You know, over the years, I've had a lots of entrepreneurial lead pastors who, when we're in this early stage of talking about campus expansion, they'll often say like, oh, like I want to go launch a campus at XYZ community 45 minutes or an hour away. And I'll say, well, why do you want to launch there? And they'll say, well, and they'll insert some really cool thing about the community. It's like, well, it's like the where the state college is, or it's the county seat, or, you know, it's a high density, you know, there's a lot of, you know, young people there. They'll talk about those things. And I'll say, well, do you have any people that live there? And it's always a funny conversation because they start with like, well, I know Fred and I know Wilma, the Flintstones, apparently. I'm not sure why those names came to my head. I know these two people who live over there. And then I'll say, okay, who else? And then they'll list maybe one or two people. And so I'm like, okay, we're up to five. Who else? And then it starts to run out quickly. And the point kind of makes itself. If you're going to launch a campus, you need somewhere between 75 and 150 people to launch that new location, people who are willing to go volunteer. And so what you're going to need to do is make sure that it's close enough, Marchetti's Constant would say within 30 minutes, of your existing location information to be able to hive them off to go start a new campus. So start your campus expansion by looking at every community that's within 30 minutes of your location today. So if you are looking at, you know, starting a campus or starting your next campus, every campus you should start with is to look at everything within 30 minutes of your existing locations today. That's really where this conversation should start.
All right. So our next point, your mass media promotion, should be narrowly focused.
Yeah. So, you know, radio to me is a fascinating medium. So it's persistent. There is no reason why radio should continue to, you know, to really exist. You know, we all have phones in our pockets. We all, you know, have downloaded the exact music list we want. We all have podcasts like this one, which we know we would prefer to listen to rather than the you know, kind of local drive time. But if you, but believe it or not, actually in the last 10 years, radio listenership has only dropped by 2%. If you don't believe me, there's a link in the thing. So, which is crazy. And so now let's think about this for a minute. Radio really ultimately is a commuter tool. It's a commuter media. It's really designed to capture people's attention in those magic hours between 7:30 and 9:30 in the morning, and then 4 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon. If you look at anything around kind of the times that drive both the revenue model and the listenership, it's all the drive time. And they put, you know, you think about it. This is why there's no reason why Howard Stern is getting up in the morning. And I realize he's not on terrestrial radio anymore, but there's no reason why he's getting up in the morning. The only reason why he wants to get up in the morning is because that's when the biggest audience listens to the radio. So now I've taken you down a little bit of a rabbit trail here around radio, but what does this matter to us? Well, if you listen to the advertisers on radio, they are typically local businesses that are what? Within a 30-minute drive time of the listening area, of the density population area of the radio stations that are listening in. And in fact, this is why you'll hear like Crazy Eddie's used cars, you know, on the radio station. They'll be like, come down to Crazy Eddie's. We've got these deals. We're going to give them away. The boss is away. We're making crazy deals this week. Why? Those ads are persistent because they work. And the reason why they work is because people are only driving 30 minutes a day and radio is piggybacking on the back of that. What does that matter for you and I? If your church is going to do any form of mass media promotion, so this includes radio, this includes television, this includes online ads like Facebook or Instagram or Shopify or Spotify, I mean, ads, or, you know, any kind of ads online or print ads like, you know, newspapers or flyer drops, they need to be tightly focused within the window of your church. The reality of it is people are not going to drive more than 30 minutes to come to your church. So it does not make sense for you to take an ad out in Time Magazine. Time Magazine goes all the way across the country. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense for you, even if you do Facebook ads, you should not be running Facebook ads that just say, target the people who like your church and their friends, because Facebook is a global medium. You need to put a geofence around that and say, target the people who are our friends. If you're going to target them based on your friends, the people who follow you and their friends who live within a 30-minute drive of this particular location. You want a geofence where you spend your advertising, because frankly, anyone outside that 30-minute drive is unlikely to come to your church. Now, I know there's already people that are like, well, what about, and they'll insert some national brand, so some church that's reaching all across the country. Yes, that is true. There are a few exceptions to this rule. Folks like Life Church, Elevation, they have proven kind of a national exposure. They've figured out how to make that happen. However, I would say basing your strategy on that would be similar to basing your strategy on the Billy Graham Crusades of 30 years ago. Just because Billy Graham could fill auditoriums and full, you know, stadiums does not mean your church went out and rented a stadium. It was a unique thing going to them. So for you and I, average churches who are trying to impact their community, we need to closely target our mass marketing. We need to closely target our promotion into as close really as possible. So, you know, do your flyer drops with the 10,000 homes that are in your immediate neighborhood. Target your Facebook ads as tightly as possible to your zip code. We need to narrow the focus.
All right, student ministry should follow high school districts.
All right. So students are an interesting thing. So across the country, I hear time and time again from church leaders, if they're being honest, they feel like, man, our student ministry is suffering. We're not doing a good job. And, you know, a bunch of what we've talked about here is multi-site. This hasn't been just about multi-site, but multi-site has actually probably hurt student ministry in most ways because it does this interesting thing where it pulls kind of critical mass apart, where in adult ministry and kids ministry, you don't actually need critical mass as much, but student ministry, you do. Think about it. When you were a junior in high school, if you went to some event where there was 20 kids there, and then you went to the same event and there was 100 kids there, it wasn't five times better. It was probably 50 times better. The having more people in the room is an important piece of the puzzle. So, interesting statistic. If you look at the average high school students within our country, within America, that walk to school every day, they walk a 2-mile range to their school. So what is that? That is an average of 30 minutes a day that high school students walk to school. Marchetti strikes again. So what does that mean for our student ministry? I think our student ministries have to get a lot better at being really focused around the school districts that they're in, thinking really more at the school district, high school level, rather than at the city level or the town level, really trying to break what they do up into a smaller piece of a puzzle. You know, I it turns out that Young Life, you know, has had it right all along, or these kind of parachurch ministries have had it all right all along, where they've really focused on students at the school level rather than at the city level and said, hey, how do we reach students at local high school, at Eisenhower High? How do we reach the kids there and base everything around that? You know, how do they do their contact ministry at the basketball games over an ice cream on the way home is super pivotal to organizations like Young Life. And I've linked to an article about Young Life in this, which talks about kind of what churches, I've talked about this in the past, what I think churches can learn from Young Life. But I think, again, a part of what could be wrong about our student ministries is we're frankly thinking too big. We need to be thinking, how do we get this into a smaller, more granular, how do we get this into an environment that students are used walking to, unless we're going to provide some sort of rabid transportation. So high school ministry, I think, is impacted, and we need to be thinking that through as we think about Marchetti's Constant.
That's really interesting.
Thanks.
That's crazy. It is crazy when you think of, you know, high school students being the next generation. And would you say that that generation is falling away from church?
So, yeah, absolutely. There's statistics there that prove that there is a constant erosion. You know, we used to say, the shorthand used to say 50% of 50-year-olds go to church, 40% of 40-year-olds, 30% of 30-year-olds, 20% of 20-year-olds, 10% of teens. And you know, it doesn't take much to see in most churches that there has been an erosion of the next generation somewhere around that kind of junior year in high school. You know, if for the Canadian listeners, somewhere around grade 11, you see a significant drop off. Again, this, not to be too pointed and not to be too just bring this back to our article all the time, but ironically, it's around when students start to drive. You know, there is a certain freedom that comes with that, where their parents, you know, no longer, you know, kind of control where they're at all the time, and they decide not to, you know, to be there. And so I think this kind of localization, and we've seen this across the country, there are churches that have, really taken a strong focus towards small group ministry, have said, hey, how do we do things locally and how do we scale up multiple small groups rather than kind of one giant, let's get everybody together party thing. That's more at the kind of city level rather than at the district or school level, that are seeing success in that. And by success, I mean like are seeing more numbers, are seeing more people actually show up to those things. And I think some of that's driven by this. If we train students from the beginning in middle school and high school that actually you can just walk to your student ministry, it's literally around the corner, the chance of them inviting their friends, I think, goes way up, because, you know, you're not involving the parents, you're not getting, it's just like, hey, I'm going out with some friends. So again, folks like Young Life have proven this time and time again. They've figured out that we got to be in the community. We've got to, you know, make it small. They would say it all comes back to contact ministry, the one-on-one small group connection. Right. How are we actually loving on students? And so, again, some of that is connected to transportation and drive time and all that.
All right, our last point. If people start driving less or more, we might have a problem.
All right. So finally, there's evidence that Marchetti's constant window might be changing. So I want you to go over to the article, Dear Podcast Listeners, and click on the chart that is there. Now, again, this is a car leader. I'm a car wonk. My dad spent most of his career in the automotive industry. And I grew up in the family that was like, if you don't buy American cars, you're not, you're not a real person kind of thing. True story about probably 12 years ago was the first time I bought a Toyota. I was a grown man when I did that. And I went to my dad and was like, Dad, like, I think I'm going to buy this Toyota. I felt like kind of self-conscious about it. And by that point, he was like over it. He's like, no, that's a great car. You totally should buy that. But even as a grown man, I was like, oh, I probably should check with my dad. So this chart is interesting because what it does is it shows the driving trends over the last 50, 60 years. And it looks at the kind of total number of miles driven. And so this fascinating thing happened after 2008. So basically, it's another way to kind of track the economy, because you can, as the driving goes down, you can see kind of the economy go down. So, which is an effect of the economy going bad. But what happened after 2008, I'm trying to visually describe the chart for people that aren't actually clicking on it and going over there, is actually after 2008, it went down and went into a deep dip. The first time in 40, 50 years that you saw a persistent trend of less and less driving. And then we saw a couple years ago, it kind of started to rebound, but then is now going down again. So there is a clear trend towards people driving less. Now, to put this into, back to Marchetti's constant. So, there's an interesting thing here that in August 2018, the average person drove 12,500 miles in a day or in a year. So in an entire year, if you take that by 200 workdays, at 62.5 miles a day. On average, people drive 61 miles per hour in their car, if you take all cars on all roads. And so what does that bring us back to? That brings us back to, again, this 30 minutes a day Marchetti is just keeps coming back time and time again. So what difference does this matter? If the long-term trend is towards people driving less, what isn't going to change is Marchetti's constant. We know that people will still only go half an hour to go places. But if people are driving less, most of our churches are built on this model of people getting in their cars and driving to us. If people are less likely to drive, that is going to impact all these big boxes that we've built over the last 20 years, where we're asking people to come and see and come, into our communities, which are coming to our churches, which ultimately will mean we're probably going to need to launch more campuses in a more densely populated manner if people end up driving their car less. Now, the flip side of that, if the driverless car thing really does become a thing in the next 10, 15 years, and the speed limits on highways jump by 50%, let's say, which is one of the outcomes that all the autonomous car people say, if we get enough autonomous cars on the vehicles, we could actually probably jump on most roads. We could go from being 60 miles an hour on most roads, we could jump to, 100 miles an hour, which would be crazy. But because the cars would be dealing with dealing with each other, and from a safety point of view, what that will do is drive communities farther apart. People will still only drive half an hour, even though they're driving faster, which again will then change the population density of how we need to be thinking about where our church locations go to. So all this is important because I know there are church leaders that are listening in today that are thinking about campuses, that are thinking about like probably their largest capital campaign in their history. They're going to raise millions of dollars to build some building. And you're hoping 30, 40 years from now that building is still being used because you're spending so much time, effort, energy, and money on making it happen now. You need to think really carefully about how the transportation trends are, going to be shifting in the future, or how they're being, how they are being impacted, as we look to the future. So, interesting thing, Marchetti's constant, a little fascinating concept for us to think about as we think about church leadership today.
It is fascinating. All right, Rich, before we sign off, is there anything else you want to add?
No, I would just encourage us. I know as we're coming into these last few days before Easter, hopefully this was a bit of a mental break. It's got nothing to do with Easter. So hopefully, we just want to cheer for you, want you to know we're excited for you. And we'll just keep cranking all the way through Easter and beyond here at Hunt Seminary. We're around to help you really reach the people that you're trying to reach. So we're just cheering for you. Hope things go well in these last few days before we hit into Easter.
All right, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today. You can see the full article and our other podcasts at unseminary.com.